Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Saturday, the 5th day of September, Anno Domini 2020, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news. By the way, we are hurtling headlong into our 32nd year on the air. Yeah, this. If you're one of those folks who actually goes to our website at soundbites.org, you will see up in the upper right of our website, you'll see the box that says our longevity. We've been on the air for 31 years and 2 days. Just kind of amazing. You'll also see our phone numbers, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And are you getting the text thing up? Okay, and you can text us at 585-205-8887. And you can either call us now that you've heard them, or you can go to our website and see them there. In the meantime, I will read the news. Many of the shockingly, the first news item in our 32nd year is about Microsoft and their patches. Many of the updates and patches Microsoft releases for Windows 10 prove to be unpopular, usually because of the new problems they introduce. But with the latest update, people have another reason to consider avoiding installing it, if you can. KB4023057 has been pushed out by Microsoft several times before, and the company has just started to push it out again. The aim of the patch is to address issues that have been preventing some people from upgrading to the newest versions of Windows 10, and also, pay attention, override any blocks that users have put in place to stop feature updates from being installed. The problem is that there are many people with good reason to stick to an older build of Windows 10, but KB4023057 is ready to ride roughshod over such plans. Having made a conscious choice to avoid upgrading to the latest build of Windows 10, anyone installing KB4023057 will be disappointed to find that the patch ultimately results in build 2004 being installed. The update applies to many builds of Windows 10, showing just how eager Microsoft is to get more people upgraded to the latest version. Microsoft explained that the update includes reliability improvements to Windows Update service components in consumer Windows 10. The company goes on to say it may take steps to free up disk space on your device. That's one of my favorite ways of saying we're going to delete stuff we don't care about.
Yeah.
If you do not have enough disk space to install Windows updates, this update includes files and resources that address issues that affect the update process in Windows 10 that may prevent important Windows updates from being installed. These improvements help make sure that updates are installed seamlessly on your device, and they help improve the reliability and security of devices that are running Windows 10. What this means in practice is that Windows may run disk cleanup tool to free up space, as well as compressing files. While this is something you may feel uncomfortable having done for you, it is noted that this update may try to reset network settings if problems are detected, and it will clean up registry keys that may be preventing updates from being installed successfully. This means that Microsoft is actively ignoring clear decisions taken by users. So if you do not want to be forcibly upgraded to the newest build of Windows 10, the advice is simple. Avoid KB4023057 if you can. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft is forcing upgrades of Windows 10. Your choices are whatever they want. It's fine by me. I'm not happy, but okay. I hate this. Windows. And other. So far, we've got 92 votes from all over the world. Right now, I hate this is well in the lead with over 50% of the vote. And of course, once you voted, and I hope you do at soundbites.org, bites with a Y, scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff. You'll see the forum. The second forum down is, you'll see the forums, right? And then the second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 5-sept-20. Microsoft is forcing upgrades of Windows 10. And basically, as I say in that post, if you're running Windows, the problem, of course, is that we call it a personal computer. That's a lie if you're running Windows. It's Microsoft's computer. If you're running Windows, Microsoft owns that computer and you can go pound sand. So that's it. And of course, please feel free to give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Yeah, we've got that would I'll tell you what, I certainly have not run Windows in a very long time, but that would really pork me off. I mean, seriously.
Especially because there's a lot of legitimate reasons businesses may not have loaded an update. It's not compatible with some software you're using. Or the general public has had so many problems with updates crashing their computer that many of them are skittish about installing anything.
Yep. But you don't get that choice anymore. If you install the newest update, that KB number, you definitely end up with the latest version of Windows, whether you like it or not. It will also then prevent you from blocking updates with those registry keys that you see all over the place. So yeah, don't install that update. For a while at least, you'll be able to avoid doing that. And so definitely you're going to find that it's not your computer anymore.
Got it up.
Yay. All right, so Dave has successfully got the text messaging thing open. So you could text this there at 585-205-8887. You can also give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, just like Gary did from Greece, New York. Hiya, Gary. What's up?
Hi, guys. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
About 3 years ago, I purchased and installed Office 2013 for home, personal home office type thing. And in the process of installing it and, I guess, verifying and registering it with Microsoft, in a momentary lapse of judgment, I created a Microsoft account.
Yep.
Now I get these occasional messages on my computer saying, you may have a problem. Maybe it's your password. I go to the Microsoft account, website. And I can't find anything wrong. So what I'd like to do is just cancel this Microsoft account. Now, when I research that, they give some semi-dire warnings of all sorts of things that I might not be able to do anymore if I canceled the account. I don't have anything that's subscription-related with Microsoft, not that I know of. So would it really be terrible if I just canceled that account?
That may be how your Windows computer is talking to Microsoft. If you cancel the account, now you can't log into Windows anymore.
Mm. Yeah. You're probably best continuing to keep that account. But if your unhappy with, and it only happens in Office 2013?
Well, no, it's a Windows message that pops up.
So
it's not when I'm in Office.
Your account is connected to the computer.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and it probably does. That's how it also does all the updates and everything else.
Right.
You can switch from a Microsoft account to a local account, which then would theoretically allow you to stop using the Microsoft account. I'm looking through to see what the gotchas are there.
Well, there's a number of them. First, all the stuff in your Microsoft account that you've saved on your computer will not be available to the local guy. Mm-hmm. You could then log in as administrator and copy all the stuff or move it from the one account to the other account. But that's a long and involved process, and you have to know where, for example, your mail is and everything else. You might just be better off. Now, does it happen a lot, or does it happen just intermittently?
I'd say intermittently, but I think, well, whenever I do a restart, it'll eventually pop up.
That's fairly normal.
Yeah,
to re-log into your services, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a laptop and another desktop which don't have Microsoft accounts, and they do have Office 2013, and I don't get those silly messages. And I do get the updates from Windows.
Right, but you logged in as a local account.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, and like Steve said, if you want to change to a local account on that machine, you can do so, but be aware that everything on that machine will no longer be available until you move it to the new account.
Mm, okay.
And also, it depends on how you installed things like Office 2013. If you installed it just for that ID, it will not be available to other accounts.
Okay.
So there's really a lot to consider.
I may be just better off tolerating this silly message and just ignoring it.
Well, yeah. Basically, what it sounds like is happening. If it only happens when you reboot or start up, what it sounds like is that one or two of the services that is connected to your account is slow starting up, and Microsoft gets all panicky. Oh, my gosh, I can't get to such-and-so. And then probably a second later, you get to such-and-so.
Yeah.
And which is why you don't get the message again and again
and again. Just a timing issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one thing you can do is go through all of the possible connections, go into your account and see if there's a... Hold on. Yeah, see if there's a way you can divorce yourself from those additional things and see if that helps.
We see a similar thing in the Apple world with the Apple ID that you're logged into so you can download apps and sync your stuff. Every now and then it asks for your password to make sure it's still you with your device and still syncing your data.
Right. Is it asking for your password or is it just saying can't connect?
Neither. It just says there may be a problem with your Microsoft account. Probably your password was changed. You should look into it, in essence.
Basically,
I don't have the message in front of me.
Yeah, but basically what it's saying is I couldn't connect to a particular service. I don't know why. And 99% of the time the answer is that service is just a little slow getting started.
One of our listeners just texted in, I'm pretty sure when you log in to a local account, you won't lose anything. I've done it many a times. The Microsoft account is pretty much useless.
Well, yes, yeah. But what I'm saying is if he saved things in, say, for his document folder
mm-hmm.
as one account, that will not be available to the other account until he copies it over from one to
yep.
the other.
Yep.
In addition, when you install something like Office, you have a choice. Install it for everybody or only the account that you're in right now. If he installed it only for the account he's in right now, mm-hmm. it will not be available in the other account.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and this was installed just for this.
It's Windows. They don't
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, you've given me some insights, and I'll figure it out.
They're pretty scary, but
yeah.
As it always is with Microsoft.
It always is.
They love making your life a challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, guys. And
all right.
Again, happy anniversary.
Thank you again. Thank you again. 31 years done, 32 years starting out. 31 years in the air.
That's longer than my first marriage.
Yes. Yes, it is. Not longer than mine.
No. As a matter of fact, you just celebrated how many?
40. 40 years.
You
40
old.
Years with the same woman. She's clearly not smart enough to get out.
Yeah, really? She still hasn't come to her senses, huh?
No, she has not. She will at some point, but until then, I'm a happy man.
You just keep her up on that caffeine.
That's right. So, yeah, we're 32 years on the air. And let me just remind everybody that when I say we, I don't mean just the three of us. I mean all of us. You, too. You're the ones who keep us on the air. If you people hadn't been calling in for the last 31 years, we would not have had this show for 31 years.
Yeah.
It's you people who keep us on the air. So this is your anniversary just as much as it is ours. So thank you all, each and every one of you. Thank you very much for keeping us on the air and keeping this show running. We really appreciate it. So thank you again. Our next caller, Elmer from Greece, New York. Hi, Elmer. What's up?
Hi. I'm a fellow 40th anniversary guy, believe it or not.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
No, you too. That makes two of us.
Exactly.
Or actually four of us.
What's wrong with our... Exactly. What's wrong with our wives? Who knows? We're just grateful that there is something wrong with them.
Well, I've got something else about Microsoft accounts. I'm currently running Windows 10 Professional with a Office 2010 for home and student use on it. And, of course, I'm getting all the Nagware messages about how it's not going to be supported after the first of the month.
Right.
I have I've purchased a Office 2019 for home and student use, which I'd like to install for all the users on this computer. And I've basically got two questions. One of them, the quick one, is do I have to uninstall Office 2010 first, or is Office 2019 smart enough to know that it's just upgrading an existing 2010 installation?
Neither. You'll end up with both.
Oh, okay. So I should probably
install 2010 first, yeah.
Okay.
Because there's likely some really old drivers in there that are going to end up getting replaced anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. And the other one is, I do not currently have a Microsoft account. This is a download for Microsoft. Apparently, people are not selling CDs anymore.
Right.
Install media. And I don't currently have a Microsoft account. And there are four locally only accounts on this family computer so that we can each have our own sets of email and settings and all that.
Right.
Now, do I have to do anything special when I create my Microsoft account to download this puppy to prevent it from hijacking the locally administered accounts, or is that reasonably safe?
In Windows, don't let it switch to the Microsoft account. Keep it using a local account.
Okay, if I have the option for that, I certainly won't let that happen.
Yeah. Right, and you will have the option. Just be aware that it'll crop up regularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, again, the heck with you, it's Microsoft's machine.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the advantages of the downloaded software and the fact that you have to register it with Microsoft is that you don't have to, you don't lose your disk.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, we have had so many customers come in moving their stuff to a new computer. Well, we have to reinstall your disk, and we need the license that came in the box. Well, I have no idea where that is.
Yeah.
Well, you have to find it or buy a new license. I don't want to buy a new license. Then find your box. I don't know where it is.
You remember the day, though, when we had to load it with disk?
With discs,
and they couldn't find all the disk?
Just 27 was missing. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man, do I ever remember those days.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
And I've actually go all the way back to the 8-inch floppies days.
There you go. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days walking around with a box of those from, IBM for my Trash 80.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but you are going to get nagged.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but you're going to get nagged.
Well, I suppose that's minor compared to some of the other things. I mean, not having to keep track of a box of media is attractive to me because the computer I'm installing on this is a fairly old one from the Windows 7 days, and I am probably going to have to move this to a new computer sooner or later.
Right. The only thing that I must caution you, do not lose that Microsoft account password.
They do have a forgot your password link, but then it emails you at your registered email address. So don't lose that password either.
Exactly. So make sure that you have that secure. Because if you ever need to reinstall it or put it on a new machine, you'll go through all this all over
again. That's why keeping it in NPass is the best thing going.
Right.
Well, I have a even more reliable way. Archival paper with archival ink locked up in a place that nobody will ever find except me and my wife.
Okay. See, that works, too.
Yeah, that works, too. Can't deny that.
That way it's guaranteed to be disconnected from the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, have a good one.
You, too.
Bye.
Yeah, you will find that there is there are some advantages to having a Microsoft account,
mm-hmm.
but you also there are disadvantages. And you have to be careful when you're looking at your system to know where you are and why you're there, mm-hmm. and when it wants to do one thing and you want to do something else, you got to be careful. The worst thing you can do with a Microsoft computer is get click happy, ever.
Yeah. Read the messages.
Read every message, even if you've seen it 1,000 times. It's one thing that Microsoft does is change messages.
Yeah.
When they decide it's time to change what you do and how you do it, they will, in fact, do so without your, let's say, assistance.
Yeah. One of the advantages for them is it cuts down on piracy a lot, because even if you steal the disk download, you still need to have a registered account, and you have to have a license on that account for the computer you're putting it on.
Right. So you want to be very careful with all of that information. It's important. And of course, for those of you who want all the benefits of a great Office suite without having to deal with Microsoft, take a look at LibreOffice. It has all of the same features, a very similar interface. Unless you're doing something, for example, there are add-ons that do special things for lawyers or special things for accountants.
Different templates.
Right. And unless you're using one of those, you can certainly use LibreOffice. It is 100% free. You can put it on every computer in the known universe. Nobody cares.
Yep.
You're not beholden to anybody. The updates are frequent and good. And it reads and writes every Microsoft Office format.
And as long as you put it out there as RTF, there's no program, word processing program, that can't read RTF.
Right, and it'll read PDFs, and it'll read everything. It'll write PDFs. It'll do everything you need done.
Yeah, it's
so it's something to take a look at. And also for those of you who are interested in easy manipulation, translation between multiple machines, take a look at Google Docs. You know, or I suppose you can do Microsoft Office or all online. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nate Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful that we are member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or you can text us at 585-205-8887. While you do that, we will talk to Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark, what's up?
happy anniversary, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
My anniversary for listening to you will be the beginning of December. It'll be 20 years.
Wow.
Nice.
Well done.
Coming up, too. So, anyways, I wanted to let you know a little update. When I told you last week, I had given my sister-in-law Mint,
yeah,
her laptop. She loves it so much, she spent money and bought memory upgrade for me to put in for her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're going to bring her up to the 4 gigs that the laptop can handle. And she's really happy with me. She just keeps saying, I can't believe it's free.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah, about free software. I mean,
open source free software is the best.
Yep.
I told her, I said, LibreOffice is in there. I says, I mean, you know how to use Microsoft Office. I says, it's basically the same thing. I said, it's like getting in a new car, you know.
Yep.
They're in a different spot, but they're all there, you know, 99% of them.
Yep.
Or 95% of them, and you should be fine. She was so happy. So I wanted to give you an update on that. The second update I want to give you is a little cautionary tale. When I updated my brother's computer, my sister-in-law's, my brother, anyways, I took his hard drive out and put a new solid-state drive in his laptop, and that's running wonderful. And his old drive had a lot of errors on it, so I said, I'll destroy it for you, and we'll get rid of it. Well, today I went to destroy it, and I had the smart idea, because it's a 2.5 drive, to use a meat mallet on it. Well, I didn't move my finger quite out of the way.
Uh-oh.
I smashed the tip of my index finger.
Be careful.
Well, I used to have so much fun. I used to have this nice big sledgehammer that I'd sit there and aim for the center of it.
Yeah.
And we'd set it out there. We had this one cinder block. And we just set it on top of this portable thing and take the sledgehammer. Dan and I would... Who's going to do it this time?
There are places in the country where you can bring your old hardware and shoot it with a shotgun.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun. That right up there with some CDs.
Exactly.
Pull!
Anyways, I got it destroyed, you know, but on the last hit, I had my finger in the way. I didn't move it. Thank the Lord, it's just a tip.
Yeah.
I didn't break anything other than the nail and it bled a lot. But meat mallets work great on 2.5 drives. Just get your hand out of the way.
Okay, good to know. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've had a number of other folks just text in and thank us for being there and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you all.
Yeah. One gentleman from Virginia, you know, again, no names, but, you know, right. It's great to all our listeners. And that's why we keep doing it. And that's why when, you know, we have to come to you each year, twice a year to ask for money and that, you're there for us. Because we enjoy doing this. And that's why we've been, you know, together for 31 years.
It's you people who keep this show on the air. It's you people who, you know, we're heading into our 32nd year and it's on you. You did it.
Yeah.
So, you take the blame. That's all I can do.
Yeah, we're here. We just answer the questions. It's you folks that, you know, keep coming in with your support and questions.
That's right. So thank you all. We are deeply, deeply appreciative.
I mean, we normally have, you know, stuff that we can talk about. There's sure. always stuff there in the news and everything else. But if you look at the core of the program that's kept us going, it's been your questions and us trying to solve your problems. And hopefully, not only that, solving the problems, but actually teaching you so that you're learning something. And maybe you don't have that particular problem right now, but because you've heard it on the show over the years, oh, wait a minute, I remember the guys had that issue. And they go back to our website and look it up. And, oh, yeah, there's the answer to their problem.
Yep. Oh, I have to say, first, thank you to the person who donated to the Security Tango to keep it on the air. I very much appreciate that. But what really tickled me was this week, there was a person at the public market. Mm-hmm. My wife has a coffee stand at the public market. I was there on Thursday. There was somebody walking through with a Security Tango t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
And cool. I was very, very happy to see that. That was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty cool, I got to say. So that was nice.
Where can they find that?
Well, they can see that, actually, and this will shock you. At the Security Tango website.
Get out of town.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Seriously?
Yeah, I know that you're finding that hard to believe.
Yeah, it's right up there with the coffee bean list.
That's right. It's at securitytango.com. And you can find the shirt there. If you have trouble finding it on that site, and that happens sometimes, you can also get it at wegottheshirts.com.
Okay.
Wegottheshirts.com. And what is happening here? There we go. Wegottheshirts.com. If you scroll down to, I believe it's the tech section.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your Security Tango t-shirt. There's t-shirts, there's long-sleeved raglan or baseball tees, and short-sleeved tee, multiple colors, multiple sizes.
And you can also go to if you want Soundbites paraphernalia, you can go to the Jazz 901.
That's exactly right.
And,
Anyway, I was just tickled pink.
Yeah,
to cool. see that was kind of fun.
Well, you don't expect that, you know what I mean?
Right. So that was very nice. I was just amused, and the person was kind of excited to see me there. Yes, I go to the market most Thursdays. Not every Saturday, because I got to come here.
Yeah, that's kind of.
So Saturdays are tough for me, because the problem is not getting there or going or helping or any of that stuff. The problem is getting off the market grounds in a reasonable amount of time to get here.
Because that's right at prime time.
That's
folks are, you know, just going to market.
Oh, Nick, by the way. Hey, Nick, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, by the way.
Well, and that's the other thing. I spend a lot of time answering computer questions there, and I don't mind it. But I'm really there to help my wife bag and grind and sell coffee.
Buy coffee? You'll answer a question.
I said that to a guy one time. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "You got to buy a cup of coffee." He got angry.
Get out.
$1.25 for a small coffee, and he was upset that he had to pay it. At that point, I thought something that was relatively unchristian and cannot be repeated on the air, and did not answer his question.
Italian gesture?
It was a joke, but he got really angry. So I thought, no.
No, that is very fair. I mean, that's gall.
That's gall.
You're coming to a business, and hello, it's not a computer business. There is, last I knew, your wife didn't work on computers.
Yes. No, she does not.
So, it's just like, folks will sit there and, ask you, various questions and all that. Same with me. I don't mind answering them. Right. But, if I'm at a function or something else, hey, I hate to bother you. Well, then don't.
Yeah. Well, I like your story about the doctor who tried to ask you a question.
Yes, at a party.
Yeah.
He cornered me. He buttonholed me. Started asking me all this computer questions. I said, "You're a doctor. Listen, I got this pain right here." And I started to lift up my shirt. He said, "Call my office." I said, "You know what? You too." And I walked away. Later on, he found me and said, "I am so sorry. People do this to me all the time, and I did it to you and never thought once about it, and I apologize." I said,
"Yeah,
well, that's nice, but now I'm not going to answer any more of your questions." So,
yeah, but I mean,
but I'm a doctor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I don't mind chatting about it. I go to my, I lost a crown this week. The crown is easily older than this radio show. And it finally, the cement died.
Yeah.
He put it back in, and it took all of 10 minutes. I didn't even know it came. But while we were there, we were chit-chatting about computers. I don't mind it. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
But you got to be polite about it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, and then to get indignant.
Right.
Because you're asking them for questions, but it's okay if they talk to you.
Right.
Yeah, it's called a two-way street here, folks.
Right. All right, let me read another news item. Apple, this is so sad. Apple accidentally approved one of the most popular Mac malware threats, OS X Slayer, as part of its security notarization process. The Apple Notary Service is an automated service on recent Mac OS versions that scans software ranging from Mac OS apps, kernel extensions, disk images, installer packages for malicious content and checks for code signing issues. Then, when a Mac OS user installs the software, Apple's gatekeeper security feature notifies them about whether any malicious code was detected before they open it, which is a very nice service to have. Security researchers Peter Dantini and Patrick Wardle recently discovered that Apple inadvertently notarized malicious payloads that were utilized in a recent adware campaign. On Friday, Dantini noted that a fake homebrew website was actively hosting an adware campaign. The website was likely spoofing the legitimate homebrew site, a free and open source software package management system that simplifies the installation of software on the Mac OS. When users visited the website, it redirected several times before telling them that their Adobe Flash player is out of date. Well, I certainly hope so, since...
It's still valid until the end of the year.
I guess. And recommended an update via at least three separate pop-ups in the browser. While the campaign seems like a fairly run-of-the-mill adware attack, what's different is that Apple's notarization requirements do not trigger a warning notification telling the user that the developer cannot be verified and that it is unknown whether the app is free from malware. The adware payloads were fully notarized in this campaign, meaning the malicious payloads were submitted to Apple prior to distribution. They were scanned by the mobile by Apple, and no malicious code was detected via Apple's automated system. However, upon further inspection, Wardle discovered that notarized payloads appear to be OS X Schlayer malware. Wardle was able to discover the execution of various shell commands. These commands change file modes, execute and delete files, and more. Schlayer is a top common threat for Macs. In fact, last year it made up 29% of all attacks on Mac OS devices, making it the number one Mac malware threat for the year. More recently, a new variant of the malware has been spotted. After the malicious payloads were spotted, Wardle notified Apple, which revoked their certificates. And then the adware campaign was still live after that and serving up new notarized payloads. The adware's goal is generally to install various browser extensions and show victims various ads. As of Monday, these newer notarized payloads were also revoked by Apple. So, are you still feeling smug about Apple's lack of malware? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887.
It's one of the problems with automated scanning is there was nothing illegitimate in that file itself. It just pointed to a fake website that
right,
was a known
didn't follow the links.
Yeah. And so now they have to add an exception and have someone. I always wonder how many apps get looked at a day and how many people they have looking at apps. It's got to be hundreds. Yeah.
Well, this was automated. There are no people.
So. Yeah, the automation tool, if it discovers a problem, it kicks it out to a person.
Right.
But in this case, they're going to the homebrew website. Oh, that's fine.
Right. Of course, it was the fake homebrew website.
Right. Now there's an exception in their list for that.
Yeah. Right.
Or maybe they'll have to start following all the links before they approve an app now. Yeah.
One thing, you know, that's just popped up in my world is, and you talk about computers, and like Steve was just saying, everything is so automated.
Yeah.
You know? Well, when you go to file for your ham license, okay, you literally do it all online. It's all automatic. They don't even nowadays send you a copy of your license. They just send you the computer literally just sends you a file. It says, here's a copy of it. Print it off.
Wow.
All right. With that in mind.
The people that used to do that probably all got laid off.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've all been replaced literally by a computer. Now the FCC has the nerve to now want to charge people $50 to get that license.
Wow.
For something that a computer sits there, that no individual has to sit there and go through all this paperwork or anything else. Literally, a computer, they tell you, all right, give the computer, you know, X amount of days. Usually it's 3 to 4 days, and you'll get your new license. Or your license. So, yeah, if you're going to renew, get a new one, get a vanity set. Yeah, FCC now wants to nail you $50 for something they don't even have their hands into, or it takes a whole team of folks looking at stuff and looking it over and everything else to do.
Right.
Talk about ripoff.
Well, it is what it is. You know, you're gonna live with that. It is what it is.
Did their budget get cut drastically or something? Because they're going after the model airplane community too. It used to be you had to register as a pilot.
Yep.
And now there's a notice for proposed rulemaking. You have to register every plane separately. Well, I've got 20 planes, and I've only been in it a couple of years.
Right.
and they want you to have a GPS tracker in every single plane with its own unique ID, so that when you crash in a crowd, they'll be able to track you down. Well, most of us don't fly in crowds. Right. We know that's wrong and right. stupid, and so there's this huge mess currently going on in the industry. There's sort of kind of a schism happening. Is that the fixed wing people are mad at the heli people who are mad at the quad people?
Sure,
because it's all the $50 drones you can buy in the big box stores now. That people are buying with no training and then crashing into the neighbor's house or flying over someone's backyard or running into airplanes or something. And they're giving us all a bad name, and it's threatening the hobby as an industry who've been around for probably nearly 100 years.
Right.
In fact, the Wrights had models before they built their full scale.
That's right. Well, there was that site you showed me last week with those tiny, under 50 gram.
Yeah. Tiny whoops.
Every one of them has a camera in it.
Yep.
And they're under 50 grams, so they don't need a license. So I can just buy one of those, $150.
Yep.
And I'm flying over my neighbor's yards watching them in my camera.
Yeah.
Although because they are so small, they have such the lower power engines, it has to be virtually no wind. So they're more geared for indoors. But if there's not enough wind, then... you can fly us. I had a little bit larger quad. It was about a 12-inch model. Got caught by the wind and blown away.
Oh, yeah.
Landed in the neighbor's tree. And I could see on the camera it was in the tree. It eventually came down in the next storm, which was nice.
Oh, that's okay then. But the moral there, of course, is start a company that makes those little GPS trackers.
Yeah. And that's part of the thing. No one has a little GPS tracker. For airplanes. So that entire industry has to be developed before you could even fit it in the airplanes. And we've been fighting that in the model rocket community for years. We would love a GPS tracker to fit in our rockets that doesn't cost a fortune or have a cellular bill you have to pay every month, because you usually only fly your rockets once or twice a month, if that.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Gene from Greece, New York. Hiya, Gene, what's up?
Oh, my goodness. I watch your show and listen to it all the time. I'm really not too smart about computers, but I'm interested in this Microsoft questions you were talking about.
Sure.
Okay, if I have Microsoft Visual C at absent features, redistributable?
Sure.
Yes. And it's dated 5/2017.
Right.
So I have several of those. I have a 2008 Visual C, same thing. I don't want to touch these, right? Or I do?
Well, if you're not programming in Visual C, you don't really need to use them.
Okay.
But it's likely one of the programs you installed uses that code.
Right.
Well, the thing it said was, let's see, when I say uninstall, it says this app and its related info will be uninstalled.
Well, I don't necessarily know that you need both 2017 and 2008 on your machine.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I can uninstall those because they're old.
Make sure you have a backup first, and then when you find out what program was using that and then stops working, you can restore it.
Right.
What program it was using?
Yeah, there's probably some program using those libraries, and that's why you have them.
Right, so it's not that you are using Visual C itself.
Right.
It's that some program you did install is using all the pieces of Visual C.
I see.
And that's why it got installed.
Okay.
So basically, if your hard drive is big enough and you have enough space, just leave it alone. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. So I didn't want to do anything that was really going to... I just did that with my phone a while ago where I lost all the data.
Right. You want to be very careful. It is very easy to shoot yourself in the foot, or as Mark did, smash your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Gene. Yeah, if your hard drive is big enough, just leave it. Who cares? Just let it.
My first thought was thinking, oh, nice, you know, a woman programmer. Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's not programming.
Yeah. It's nice. It unfortunately sometimes is the old boys network, but there's a lot more women becoming programmed, a lot of kids. At Apple's developer thing recently, they had a spotlight on all sorts of kid developers. And they were joking that as a kid, you probably started learning in Swift, which is a brand new language, really easy to use. You don't have that 20 years of C and Pascal.
Yeah, right.
that history that's lagging you behind to work with modern stuff.
All right. Before we take a break here, we got a couple minutes. We have one person text in. Any input or directions on new or used laptops with Linux or LibreOffice to be used both online and offline? And will I have to check the coffee at the market?
Yes.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, Fred. So first, yes, absolutely you should be checking out the Flower City Coffee in the big glass shed, the B shed, at the public market, Flower City Coffee. Elaine is the coffee lady. You can also go to
the Bean Queen,
thebeanqueen.com, and see it all there. But also, in terms of laptops, most used laptops, there are hardware compatibility lists, Linux hardware compatibility. Most every linux-hardware.org. Will generally show you some of those. Almost every distribution will also show you, for example, at linux-hardware.org, there are 65,457 different tested computer models. So you should be able to find something similar to what you want. Not every version of Linux works on every model of old laptop, but you should be able to find something that works. Honestly, I've rarely found one that didn't. Anything made in the last 6-7 years will absolutely work, and everything made in the last 10 or 15 years should work.
And there are a lot of Linuxes from several companies, including some of the bigger names, the laptops that come with Linux pre-installed, too. I posted a link of a rundown of some of them.
Right, but if you're looking to put Linux on an old laptop, linux-hardware .org is the place you want to be and the thing you want to look at, and you will probably find that your machine is listed somewhere, and it'll give the best distributions for that machine. All right, that music tells me you wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but clearly, after 31 years, you aren't smart enough to go away, so we'll take a slightly longer break, and then we'll all be back for the second hour of this longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. We'll be back. You are listening to the longest running show, but you are listening to it on a truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member supported. Jazz 90.1, top of the hour. See you in just a few minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the 32nd year of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Before we get back to the phones, Fred texted in again and said he's a hardcore coffee drinker. Fred, we do sell a couple of coffees that you will need a doctor's order in order to buy. Cafe Strega, which is a witch's brew, is a very strong coffee. It's a very good coffee. We have a number
of... Put hair on your chest and kill it, too?
Exactly. So you can go, like I said, if you want to take a look at what coffees she sells, you can go to thebeanqueen.com and you can see what's there. You can even order them online. But she's there right now, Saturday at the public market. You should go down. And we'll go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Ed from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi, gentlemen. I was just curious about some of the national radio shows lately have been advertising, I forget the name of the company, a VPN product, and they use the usual caveats that even if you go incognito, your data is not safe, et cetera, so
right.
You have to use, I think it's EVPN or something like that. And I think last week you suggested that the path that you have to go from origin to destination isn't safe anyway.
That's exactly right.
But I understand. I'm confused in the sense that when you hear this spiel about it, it sounds like if they know that, and they must if they're in the business,
right.
Why are they then allowed to suggest, without coming out and saying in so many words, that you have to use our product in order to be secure?
Well, here's the deal with VPNs. If you run your own VPN in your company, so, you know, you work at XYZ Corp, and they have a VPN, and you log into it, you are 100% secure. It's like you were sitting at your desk. Using a VPN out in the real world keeps you secure from your computer to the VPN. So if you're using your machine in a coffee shop or, you know, somewhere like that, nobody can sniff out your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Although most websites now are encrypted anyway. They're encrypted on your computer before it leaves your computer, so no one can sniff it. Anyway.
Right. If you're using HTTPS,
yeah.
Then you're completely secure anyway, except that people know where you're going.
Yeah.
Right.
They will still be able to know where you're going. So if you want to hide that as well, then you need a VPN.
Then they only know you went to the VPN company.
Right.
And then you ask them where you went, and they tell you.
Right. and that's just it. First, at that VPN, you don't know what they do with their logs. If they have logs, do they keep them secure? Do they wipe them out regularly? There's one company that says they don't keep logs, any logs at all. Well, of course they keep logs, because if they don't keep some sort of log, they don't know where to send the data back that they're getting back. So there has to be some log they keep at least for a little while.
With a short, maybe perhaps a short time period.
Right. If they keep that log, how long do they keep it? Do they regularly hand those data over to any government anywhere? You know, many VPNs are not in the United States. So who knows what's happening there? But as Steve said, if you're going to a site that is HTTPS, that has the little lock.
Yeah, a little padlock.
But not all the browsers are showing the lock anymore, because every site is locked. When you go to an unlocked site, you now get a warning.
Right.
Yeah.
But so if you are going to a secure site, then the only thing they will know about you is that you indeed went to that site.
But then what happens is, say you use Google to search for something, Google knows where you're going and what search results are. So there is no way to be secure. Someone is going to know something about what you're doing.
And indeed, if you go to a website, you generally type in a name, not a number, an IP address. So that name goes to a domain name server, which then sends you back the name of the site, the IP address of the site you want to go to. So it has a log as well. So again, unless you are on a VPN at your company, VPNs don't really do a lot.
But if you're in your living room sending a message to your cousin in Florida, forget it, right? It's not going to do you any better than what you have now.
Well, now you're talking about email. And so now email depends. So, for example, if you and your cousin in Florida are both on Gmail, then your connection to Gmail is secure. Your cousin's connection to Gmail is secure. And that email should not be sniffable by anybody at either end, however.
Except Google in the middle, maybe.
It's going to sit on Google server, and they could read it if they wanted to.
We've always said that email is like a postcard. Anyone along the way can read it. They probably won't, but they could. The one thing VPN is good for is changing your point of origin on the internet. And so we've actually heard people have asked Netflix this, and they say it's okay. As long as it's just you and you're paying your fee, you can create a VPN and enter the internet in, say, England. And then you get England's Netflix, and you can watch the shows that aren't available in America. But the other problem with the VPN is it's often a lot slower than a normal internet connection, so you probably wouldn't want to watch video over a VPN.
Right. So, for example, there's a browser out there called Opera, and they now automatically use a VPN without even – you don't have to do anything. It's just there. However, that VPN is in Russia. Right, I'm not entirely certain how
safe and secure that is.
Right.
Very interesting. Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye.
But like most advertising from most companies, they overhype their features, trying to get you to buy their service.
We had another question about VPN. Somebody texted in. When I use a VPN, I frequently go through Sweden. So that I could, I get all the options to opt out of tracking. Does this opt out follow me when I visit sites without going through the VPN?
No, it's that simple. No, if you can opt well,
and most I can say most web servers ignore the opting out of tracking anyway.
Right. The idea of opting out of tracking is it's basically security theater. It's a nice thing to see. People do it all the time, and you can ignore it if you want to So the people who create the website can pretty much ignore most of that stuff. If it's not built into the browser itself, it's easily ignorable.
And some of the websites don't ignore it, and they try not to track it. Finish your answer, and then there was a correlated thing that came up.
No, that's all. That's it.
So in iOS 14 betas that people are putting out now, there's a whole bunch of new security things that are now popping up to warn people of what's happening. And they found that, what's that? TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
TikTok is reading your clipboard.
Yep.
Hundreds of times a minute.
Yep. So if you have, for example, copied a password to paste into a website, TikTok now knows that password.
Right. But we didn't know they were doing that.
Right.
Until iOS 14 now warns you that some program has accessed. So the program you're not in, usually. So the program you're in should see the clipboard and let you paste.
Sure.
But some other program is copying the clipboard, you get a warning now. Some other program turns your Bluetooth on. They did that in OS 13. Facebook wants to access your Bluetooth. Why? Right. So they can track you.
Right.
So also all the tracking stuff, Apple does have a try to limit tracking. In the Safari browser, but again, the other end has to honor that setting. But more and more places are more websites are figuring out other ways to track you. Used to be cookies. Everyone knows now to block cookies and clear your cookies. So now they're doing other things to track you.
Right.
Well, we got a text in here for Steve. It's iOS 13.7. What's your opinion on installing the new ISO? iOS 13.7. I tend to wait and wonder if there are any bugs in the version. Thanks, Sarah Gordon.
Yeah, a lot of times we recommend waiting until the 0.1, let someone else find the problems. But the bigger issue we're seeing with iOS 13.7, in 13.5, Apple included the Corona tracking APIs. So that health departments could write an app that would help you help you track yourself, so that if you tested positive for corona, then coronavirus, I should say, I test positive for corona frequently. No, if you test positive for coronavirus, you can alert all the people that you were in contact with, and if someone you did come in contact with tests positive, they can test you. So Google and Apple got together and did all these. Programming interfaces and included them in Android and iOS. Most companies aren't using them because it doesn't track you enough.
Right.
So
they did a good thing by not tracking you beyond, you were near your...
Your phone was near this other phone.
Right.
We have no idea whose phone they were. Everything else is anonymized.
Completely anonymized.
Yeah.
So if you were near one, then your phone gets a notice, but they don't know it's you.
Yeah. And most of the agents...
That's cool.
Yeah. So
the point.
They did it really good from a privacy standpoint, where you want to track, trace your contacts, but do it privately. And so hardly anyone was using it because it didn't give them all the detail that they wanted. So now in 13.7, Apple added a contact tracing feature itself. So before it was just the APIs, the intent was that your state health department would release an app, and hardly any, I think only two of the 50 states, and maybe in a couple of countries in Europe are doing it.
Right.
I thought you had an article about that, but it was different.
Yeah.
And so now in 13.7, they've included that API tracking. You can turn it on yourself. You can turn it off yourself. You have to opt in to do it. So that's becoming a much bigger concern for people, is they don't want to be tracked. However, you have a cell phone. It's always tracking you. It has to know where you are so it can ring. It has to know where you are to send you messages. Google knows where you are because you probably use Google Maps. Apple knows where you are, so use Apple Maps. Although I did read that Apple did a thing about they are deleting mapping data. So even if you put a directions in, it deletes the beginning, it deletes the end, and it deletes spaces in the middle after you've been there. So they're trying to do it a little better. Google, we haven't heard yet.
We haven't heard yet.
In fact, we're pretty sure they don't bother doing that because every month I get I get an email from Google saying, here's everywhere you went. Take a look at your map. Oh, really?
That's been a pretty bleak thing the last few months, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Bleak because you haven't gone anywhere.
Home,
but
exactly.
Before that, look at all these places I've been. Knows all the places I've been. Right, yeah.
Well, everybody does.
Yeah.
At any rate, Sarah, to answer your question, should you install 13.7?
It's probably safe. A lot of people do want to wait for a 0.1 update to let other people find all the problems first.
Like we always say, though, is don't be the pioneer. They're the ones with the arrows in their back. And is there any really compelling reason what she's working with right now versus going to that one? Any big major features that she should be losing out on by not waiting until the 0.1?
Yeah, I haven't seen all the details yet. I'm trying to read through them now. They have found a couple of glitches have been reported in Wi-Fi, Face ID bug. Oh, every time an update comes out, people complain about battery being drained. Because it just did a huge update.
You're right.
And many times it has to re-index everything because now it's a new update. So for a few days, your battery will probably drain faster than it did. You're probably, unless you're the kind of person that likes living on the bleeding edge, which you probably aren't, or you already would have installed you may want to wait for the 0.1 update.
So Sarah, wait for the 0.1 update. That was a long way around to that answer, but yeah.
Unless you have to have the newest emojis.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because the emojis are in. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of updates and everything else, I think they finally caught on to us. They must have been listening to our show.
Uh-oh.
And what I'm talking about, word has leaked out that supposedly the new Pixel 5 is going to have longer battery life.
That's what they're saying. We'll see.
Like I say, it's well worth the extra, millimeters thicker I think they're finally realizing more and more folks, you walk around and you see everybody buried into their phone.
Right.
Because they're either texting or watching movies or YouTube videos or anything else, what does that do? Drain your battery life. I need more battery. And since, like you were pointing out, you can't change the batteries anymore before. If you get low, wait a minute, I'll just pop in another battery.
Right.
Can't do that. So the thicker, getting a little bit thicker maybe, a couple millimeters, get more battery life, go for it. Thank you.
Yep. Well, and then people buy an external battery pack. Why did you buy that phone? Well, it's super thin. And then you added an inch to the back of it with a battery pack. What is wrong with you?
When all we did was make phone calls, we didn't need that big a battery.
That's right. Well, I had a flip phone that lasted 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. So all I ever did was make phone calls with it. So that's all it would do.
But nowadays, you know.
I'm using it all the time. My daughter's using it all the time.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I tether it to a tablet.
Right.
So I can get internet and that. So, you know, yeah, the battery life. Matter of fact, I have to plug it into the van because otherwise I'd drain it.
Sure, of course.
You know?
Well, and that's the other thing, of course. You get unlimited text and unlimited minutes. Who cares? What we use are data.
Yeah.
I want unlimited data and real unlimited data, not unlimited until we think you've used too much of what you're paying for.
Then we just slow it down. But we don't stop it, so it's really unlimited.
Right. It's really unlimited, but it's unlimited and slow. I hate all of that. All right. Let me read this this news item. We were talking about Apple privacy. This makes me sad, this news item. Apple is giving developers some breathing space to get ready for an update to iOS 14 that will let users opt out of being tracked for advertising purposes. The update was supposed to be released as part of iOS 14, which is expected to roll out this month. In a statement on Thursday, however, Apple said it was delaying this particular part of the update until 2021. We want to give developers the time they need to make the necessary changes, and as a result, the requirements to use this tracking permission will go into effect early next year. When Apple announced the privacy update, it drew the rancor of developers who said it could wreak havoc on their ad revenue streams. That's the point. Facebook said the update could slash revenues from its audience network by up to 50%. The company added that the change might even lead it to stop developing its audience network for iOS altogether. Fat chance. This will not change what we want. This is not a change we want to make, but unfortunately, Apple's updates to iOS 14 have forced this decision. We know this may severely impact publishers' ability to monetize through audience network on iOS 14, and despite our best efforts, may render audience network so ineffective on iOS 14 that it may not make sense to offer it on iOS 14 in the future, Facebook said in a blog post. Separately, Apple and Facebook have been engaged in a bit of a kerfuffle over the commission Apple takes from its in-app payments. Facebook said Apple asked Apple to waive its usual 30% commission as part of an update that would let users buy tickets to Facebook events in the apps. Apple refused. Facebook tried to add a note for iOS users alerting them to the fact that 30% of their payment would be going to Apple. Apple then blocked Facebook's update, including this note, on the grounds that it contained irrelevant information. So, Apple has picked ad revenue over your privacy. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887.
And it's the interesting fight that they're having, that they're trying to add these privacy features. So many developers are complaining that it's going to ruin them. Meanwhile, they're still fighting the 30% deal that developers don't want to pay anymore. Okay, we'll go back to paying 90% to Walmart. Yeah.
Well, but, yeah. In particular, what whether it's true or not, what Facebook said was, we don't want to pay the 30% on events in Facebook because many of them are charity events.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, but not all of them are charity events. And if, Facebook is going to take their piece of the action no matter what happens anyway. Mm-hmm. So don't give me the hypocrisy of Apple's taking 30%. Facebook is taking a piece, and it's a big piece.
Yeah, Amazon is taking a big piece, and everybody takes a piece.
They got to keep the shareholders happy.
You think it's all about
instant gratification? They got to keep those shareholders happy to keep investing.
Yep. Right? You think you get free shipping from Amazon? No, everything costs a little more to pay for the shipping.
FedEx, they just bury it in the
FedEx
price.
And UPS don't deliver stuff for free. They have to pay their employees, too.
Well, it's just like these other companies that sit there, and we ship for free. No, you don't. Bury it in the price. Nobody can afford to ship anything free. Don't give me that. I was born at night, just not last night.
That's exactly right.
Ooh.
There you go. But yeah, it's a real issue that I get it. I absolutely get it. People are very angry at the fact that these companies, let's be honest about it, at the fact that these companies want to make money.
Yeah.
And the only way they're going to make money is if you give them money.
And if you don't give them money, they're going to advertise based on the data they take from you.
There's any number of people who have a birthday on Facebook who say donate to this charity.
Yep.
I often donate to the charity, but not through Facebook, because I want 100% of what I'm giving to go to the charity,
yeah,
not the 60% that's going to end up going after Facebook takes their cut.
Yeah.
So I will note that charity and go donate to it, but I'm certainly not doing it through Facebook.
All right, we got another text that just came in, really cute emoji too. And it says from Bruce and Cindy, or Candy, I'm sorry, from Bruce and Candy, happy anniversary, Nick, Dave, and Steve. Thank you for all the years of advice. All of you are a treasure to the community. God bless you and wish you all good health.
Well, thank you. That's great. Thanks to both of you. We appreciate that. It's our pleasure. We've been doing this for 31 years and counting, and Lord knows we aren't getting paid, but it's not why we do it. We do
still?
It because, yeah.
I thought...
You thought there was a problem with your bank.
Yeah.
No.
I kept holding out.
But we do it because, frankly, because you people appreciate it so much. That's why we continue to do it. So we're happy.
Yeah, and that's why we show up every Saturday, like we say, you know.
Whether we want to, excuse me, rain or shine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here. I mean, the only times that we don't.
Well, we're human. We have events.
Well, no, but I'm saying for the most part, the only time that we're not here is if Christmas or New Year's falls on a Saturday.
Right.
That's the only time that there has not been a Soundbites program. Because otherwise, you know, at least two of the three are, you know, we're usually here. I mean, out of the whole year, I think, what, if each of us miss a week or two, that's about it.
Right, right. A week here, a week there, that's it.
Yeah, we're here, and we're here because we care about you guys. You show great support every year, you know, and donating and keeping us on the air, and we have fun doing it. Or otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it for 31 years.
Yeah, yeah. Either we're incredibly stupid.
Well, like I say,
we're enjoying it.
It's lasted longer than my first marriage.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we can continue to be, with your generous support, member-supported. It's Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. Hello.
And I'm Steve Ray. I only heard one of you. I was waiting for the second one until I could go to the third.
At 36 minutes after the hour.
Didn't I say it?
Yes, yeah. You did. I heard it. Okay. Steve just fugued out for a minute. And for those of you who are currently getting up from the floor from your heart attack, it's not 7 degrees out.
Seven.
It's 70 degrees out.
That's why I had to repeat myself.
Yep.
Because
yep.
I thought I said just 7. And
you did.
I thought so. That's why I corrected myself and said 70.
Right. All right. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887. We'll talk to James from Rochester, New York. Hi, James. What's up?
Oh, hi. Do you know if anyone still supports L3, the old telephones, the 3G?
So you need yours fixed or
No, if you can still use the old 3G phones with any carriers.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. That should not be a problem. You just have to have the right...
I think 2G is gone, though.
Yeah, 2G is gone, but 3G, I'm sure, is still out
there. Yeah, that should still work. I mean, I wouldn't want to use it for internet service or anything like that, but for just a simple phone.
Oh, because I have the old track phone, the simple one, the Alpha.
Yeah.
Oh, well, So, technically, 3G cellular is still working just fine. Finding a carrier to support your specific phone is a different question.
Right.
And that may be hard.
Right. Sprint, I believe, has shut down their network. But now they're merged with T-Mobile, who was still running theirs. So I don't know what happened with that. But there is a website called NPERF.com where you can see coverage for various networks in the United States.
Several companies have announced they're going to stop supporting 3G by 2020 or in 2022. Mm-hmm. So it is coming.
All right, I'll just look around. Another quick question. The easiest password storage, is that the NPass?
Yeah.
Most of them are pretty easy. We prefer NPass. ENPASS.
Yeah, I looked on the website, but is that the easiest for like a simple person like me to use?
I think so. I mean, my wife is not a big computer person, and she picked up on it. Mm-hmm. And, because it's just so easy. You just have to remember one main password. They've got great documentation that you can download, manual-wise. You just read through it, but it's easy. As long as it's running on your machine,
it
automatically fills stuff in. It remembers everything securely. And the beauty of it is they're super long passwords. Stuff that, you'd sit there and normal folks would say, oh, I can't remember that long of a password. You don't have to. You only got to remember one main password to get into it.
So when I go to each website and they ask me for my password,
it'll already say, you want me to autofill it?
The first time, you're going to have to type your password in, and then NPass will remember it.
Uh-huh. And then
unless NPass creates it. Unless you have NPass generate. If you go to the website and it wants a password, you can go over and set it up and say, generate a password. You can copy it and paste it into that website.
And then it'll remember it.
Then it remembers it.
So just read through the instructions.
Yeah, it's really very easy.
Yeah, very easy. And there's a number of YouTube videos. If you want to, you make it easier for yourself, you just sit back, don't want to read a lot, you can watch the YouTube videos, right?
I think I'll do that. One last thing. I'm buying a new laptop, either an HP or a Dell, but I don't need, the touch. I'm a Windows guy, and I don't need the pen. What would you recommend, the HP or the Dell? I was looking at the Spectra.
Both make excellent machines. Uh-huh. The important thing, if you're getting a laptop and you're going to carry it around, get an extended warranty.
Uh-huh. I just leave it in the house.
Okay, then you may not really need a laptop, but, it doesn't matter. The point is, both make good machines, and it really doesn't. Whichever one gives you the better deal today.
Yep.
Yeah, they're both good. Yeah. Do they all have the touch and the pen? Because I don't think so.
No. Few of them do.
Right. You can find lots and lots of machines from both that do not have touch or pen.
All right. Yeah, because I'm going to go to Best Buy and look. Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. You're welcome.
All right. We do have.
Well, before you do that, I just want to remind people, don't fall into the trap I did. I tend to make big 65 character passwords.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I had signed up for a new streaming service, and I had to type that into my television.
Yep.
Oops.
You get to the end, and it says wrong, and again, you made a mistake on character 4.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's quite all right. From Bruce and Candy, they wanted to just let us know that they just donated 2 sound bites. And I sent them a note back. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that very much. The other thing is, and this is one comment that came in, listening to the promo for membership. I have an WGMC membership card, but there are no vegan or vegan options restaurants like Sinelli's Pizza Restaino.
Yeah, that's okay. We
hit them up for inclusion on the card. Well, tell you what.
That's a great idea.
What I would suggest you folks do is call Rob Linton and see if maybe they can get that added to the list, because that's one thing Rob is always trying to do, is add more and more restaurants and different features to that card. That's why we tell folks constantly, go to our website and check out the list, because that is forever changing. Rob is always using due diligence to get more to offer to our members.
Right. And the thing that Bruce and Candy did was go to jazz901.org, click the big blue donate now button. And then if you scroll down, you can see that you can pick a program to pledge for. And, of course, we suggest that you pledge Sound Bites. And we appreciate that. Thank you so much. And while you're doing that, we will go back to the phones and we will talk to Matt from Webster, New York. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, Nick. I just want to call back in to give you good news and an update. You gave me that Neverwear recommendation a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And I want to say I got the solid-state drive-in, the 250-gigabyte solid-state drive-in, installed it, and even though my computer wasn't listed as compatible, it still works, and it works flawlessly now. The hardest part about the upgrade was getting those little screws out of the laptop. They put those things in there so tight.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You want to be careful not to strip them.
Yeah, because usually they put Loctite on them.
For the rest of you, what Matt is talking about is he replaced his hard drive, which was an old slow one, with a 250-gig SSD solid-state drive, and then he put Neverwear, he put Cloud Ready on it from a company called Neverwear.com. They have a product called Cloud Ready that essentially turns your old laptop into a Chromebook.
Yeah, so now I'm sitting pretty. I got a 17-inch Chromebook.
There you go. You win, my friend. You win.
Winner, chicken dinner.
I'm living large and in charge thanks to you and you guys, and I love your guys' radio show. Thanks for all the help.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it very much. But for the rest of you,
have a nice holiday weekend as well, and everybody else out here listening.
You too. Thanks, Matt. So if you're interested, if you've got an old laptop that's just sitting around, can't run Windows anymore, whatever, and you've been thinking about playing with a Chromebook, you can turn that old laptop into a Chromebook-like device. It's about 99% Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
With a product called Cloud Ready from a company called Neverwear. And Neverwear.com, you go there and you can see what editions of Cloud Ready are available. The one you want, of course, is Home. That's the free one.
Yeah.
You want that one. And when you get that, you can also see what machines it is compatible with. You can see the critical requirements, which are pretty simple. You can see the network compatibility and check if your device is certified. Now, as Matt said, his device was not certified, but what that means is they just haven't gotten around to certifying it yet. As he attested, it works flawlessly, not some other F word, and he's good to go.
Well, that's the thing, though. There's, it could have been on the list as far as the model, but there's so many versions. That's a problem. You know, they sit there, and it could just be a different bunch of capacitors or whatever on it that makes it a different version. And until, they don't want to go out there and say, yes, it's all great for all of them, because of minor changes on a motherboard that it could affect, its performance and everything else and not work.
And as they say on their website, you need 2 gig of RAM or more.
Yep.
More is always better.
Yep.
16 gig of storage space or more. More is always better. You need to be able to access your BIOS to make a few changes there if you need to. And any components made prior to 2007 may be poor performing, poorly performing. In addition, some older graphics hardware, Intel GMA 500, 600, 3600, and 3650, again, old hardware, tend to not work as well.
That's, it will work, but it won't perform to the top.
2007 is a 13-year-old computer.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a shock that a modern operating system does not work well on a 13-year-old laptop.
Well, I had one call. Speaking of old operating systems, I got one phone call. I got to return when I get home. A gentleman called, and he's got an old Windows XP machine.
Wow.
And he wants to bring it back to life because he's got all these flight simulators and all these simulators on it. And I'm going, yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, it just, you know, there comes a point where you just have to say requiem in pacem, I'm sorry. Requiescat in pacem, I'm sorry. It's done.
Yeah, stick a fork in it.
Yep. Yep.
Because, you know, it just can't be. I appreciate, you know, you enjoy doing those flight simulators and everything else, but I would think that any of those, though, you know, as far as a flight simulator or anything else, there'd be something newer out on the web that would be even faster.
Well, the problem is most of those will cost money.
Yeah,
if you've got something that you're just playing with, if you're a very casual, you're not Steve Ray, and you're just a casual, I think I'd like to play for 40 minutes on my flight simulator. You don't necessarily want to spend a lot of money buying a new one if the old one does what you want to play with.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, I mean, like we've always said, though, the price of poker keeps going up.
Yes, it does.
And to even find a machine that will be able to work with that old software.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about an older motherboard, you know, which if he's talking XP, good luck.
No, what I'm saying is at some point you just have to let it go.
Yeah, you got to say when.
We run into interesting situations now and then, some of the print shops that come in and they need a really old computer to run their $20,000 rip for their $100,000 printer.
Right.
And they just can't get a new computer because it won't work.
I've still got an original Mac Mini. I just have trouble throwing it away.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece of hardware, but nothing runs on it anymore.
Yeah. I still use a Mac Mini now.
Yeah.
An old model. I need a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, so I've got a 2012 model. 8 years. That's pretty
old.
Mine's
a PowerPC.
But it still works. Yeah, the original one was even older than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It still has an optical drive. I bet it's a combo drive. DVD.
I bet it is.
Not even a super drive.
I bet it is. I bet it is. It was the least expensive one I could get at the time. But it ran fine. I used it for years. It was a great little machine. But, you know, you can't update it with that anymore. You can't. It's very hard to find PowerPC Linux nowadays.
Yeah, there's a website called Low End Max that tries to keep up with what's available for those really low-end Macs.
Yeah.
Although what constitutes low end is getting to be pretty high.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is. And as Dave just alluded, price of poker keeps going up.
And now we're going through another transition from Intel Macs to Apple Silicon. So
right.
Even Microsoft hasn't gone through so many drastic transitions in their OSs and hardware.
Big news on the Intel side is they just changed their logo.
Again?
Since 2007, they've had that same logo.
Is that how long? Because I remember they lowered the E a little bit a few years.
Oh, after. No. Then they went with the swoopy one, right? With the Intel inside the swoop.
Yeah.
And so they've gone back to the same font that had the lowered E, but they raised the E, and the dot is in blue.
And it's a square now.
Yeah.
Jeez. So how much money did they spend?
That's exactly right.
Designing a new logo, focus groups.
Okay, hold on.
It's the third major logo along with 11th generation chips. They called it 11th generation. And that's why Apple is moving away from Intel. Their chips haven't gotten that much faster in the last decade. They keep running into roadblocks in performance and getting the dies smaller. And then all the speculative execution bugs that were found. So it's You know, hard to be Intel.
Exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Stosh from Webster, New York. Hi, Stosh. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to follow up with you guys. A couple weeks ago, we talked, and you gave me some advice. I just wanted to let you know it really worked. I had a Mac Mini that was back from the mid-2010 series, and you guys suggested going to low-end Mac and checking out for a couple things, and it was exactly what looks like the issue was with the RAM slash memory cards.
Yeah.
So I upgraded from like a 4 to a 16.
Yeah.
And it's amazing just how it feels like it's brand new. I just want to just say again my unending thanks to you guys.
Pleasure.
I can finally do so much work now back on this Macintosh. And I just want the viewers, not the viewers, but the listeners to know that you guys are just like a jewel when it comes to the value that you guys bring to the radio station. So
thank
I just wanted
you,
to
Stosh.
Say thank you.
Thank you
very much.
And you're quite welcome. Thank you. Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen. I will say, though, this whole Mac Mini thing.
You take care, Stosh.
This whole Mac Mini thing, I've really kind of gotten away from it. It's a great machine. It was lots of fun to have a small machine. But now I'm using Raspberry Pis.
Yep.
And they're much cheaper and they're much faster.
Yeah.
I can run a modern Linux on them. I can do everything I want to do for $35. You know, you have to add a power supply and you got to buy an SD card. So,
yeah, but you can plug
them in. You're still under $100.
You can plug it in. If you got your laptops or your computer running, you just plug it into that. It just runs off of that because, I mean, my computers run 24/7.
Right.
So I've got my one Raspberry Pi that runs what they call an all-star node.
Right.
And that runs 24/7, and that's been going since, let's see, I put that up. Jim from RIT helped me put that up, I think it was last November. And that thing is up 24/7. And people, you know, are using it all over the world, linking into it and everything else. And like you say, but the amount of power, I think it uses maybe a whole.
3 watts. Could use five volts.
Yeah, I'm up to, I think, 3 watts.
Yeah.
I turned it down, and it runs great, you know, and it's so powerful. And, you know, like you say, for the money. And what you can do with these Raspberry Pis are a lot of fun.
Finally,
getting into the screen designs.
Yep. I finally figured out how to run mine as a DAP server, D-A-A-P, which is what iTunes uses to stream audio and video. So I am streaming all my music and all my everything from that in my house. So no matter where I am in my house, I can listen to podcasts or whatever I want to do just off my local network. You know, downloads them at 3 a.m. and they're ready for me the next day. And all my music is on there and everything else. I just have a big, couple of big 256 gig SD thumb drives. And it runs great. And it's just a Raspberry Pi 3.
Well, a lot of folks, though, are getting into doing the touch screens.
Right. And you can do that. There's a company that makes those, and they're pretty cool. All right. That's it. Shockingly, that's it. We have wasted 2 hours of our lives with this nonsense as we hurtle headlong into our 32nd year on the air. We want to thank everybody who called in today and over the last 32 years. We're so honored and so privileged that you have chosen to spend time with us. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will see you next week. This is the longest running computer show in the known universe. 31 years and counting. Sound bites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that with your generous support, we continue to be able to be member supported. Jazz 90.1. Be good to one another, and we will see you in just 166 hours. Have a great Labor Day, everybody.